14th, to vote in this election and to be a candidate, you must be a member and submit the materials in the candidate nomination package. Please visit the elections website at elections.pacifica.org for up-to-date information, to see a list of candidates running at your station, and for contact information for your local election supervisor.
Please note, the candidate filing period has been extended to Sunday, July 26th. KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetsors, and welcome to the Hacken Show.
Is this how we're talking from now on?
I will have the lingonberry pancakes.
She gave up her toe.
It's not fair.
This is one of those situations where I'm supposed to understand that I don't.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Give us the money. Jay's fresh back from BronyCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You can hear the galloping.
Nay, Guevara.
That was good. Did you cosplay BronyCon?
I went as Din.
I was Din.
Did you live as inner Brony show? That's all.
I went as...
Take it out of the stable.
I went as a tired, fat Comic-Con attendee. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
And he's...
Jimmy Olsen.
You went as Jimmy Olsen to Comic-Con.
Wait a minute. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
He's Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee still.
And he's... Bruce
Flicted.
Perfect show. Perfect. Pete's here, though.
Yeah, Pete's in the studio.
That's awesome.
So
we got a full house tonight.
Yeah.
Regular formation, finally.
Deodorant is mandatory.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Steve Reeves movie in here.
Glad we're on this side of the glass.
It won't protect you for long.
That might just be a smelly mic cover on my side. I actually sniffed that. That's probably in the overall health arc of my life. That's
don't
probably not
sniff
one of my
the mic movies. Covers.
No, do not. I bring my own.
All right, well, we're glad you could tune in. Welcome to the show. You can visit us online at geekradio.com. That is our website where we post our podcasts and announcements and such. You can also hang out with us on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
Thank you.
Cuckoo.
Somebody has to do it.
Somebody's got to pick
up the slack. Dueling cuckoos.
Cuckoo. IRC.cougar.com and join the channel Tech Bytes. If you don't have your own IRC client, certainly feel free to use ours. It's Java enabled, so it's safe.
Yay.
We don't have a Flash version somewhere?
We should have something that ports to a Flash version or something. But yeah, so it's the show within a show. If you want to hang out there, you're welcome to.
Did you mention the Usenet group? You can get on our Usenet group.
alt.binaries.nerd.nerd.nerd.
Play our new board game on our dial-up bulletin board.
There you go.
It's FidoNet enabled.
Visit our message boards.
Muds. Our message boards. Boards of messages. Visit us on the Book of Faces.
And the Find Space of Eyes.
Instagrams and Flickers.
You're just making stuff up.
We are now.
You can join our new community website. Ignore it.
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
Is our subreddit back yet? Or are we still offline?
What about our Elo account? How's that going?
Still working on those Elo invites.
It's there. I've got some Gmail invites if anybody wants one.
I feel where this is going. Griefhouse, you want to do it?
Yeah, we did it already.
I already did it. Yeah, it already happened.
Ketchup!
Try to catch up.
I got so excited about it, I missed the moment.
Very few people get that. Very few people.
Thank God.
I know.
But it's still out there for you.
They're the hardcore.
Actually, a lot of people got it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying nobody got it. Oh, man. Somebody take over, please. I got some invites.
Anybody get big deals off of Prime Day?
I don't have Prime.
No, but did you see the 1,000-gallon drum of lube that they had on sale?
It was on sale?
It was on sale.
I've been waiting for that.
You could have gotten it. They were trying to unload it from the warehouse.
The one.
Yeah, I think they only got the one.
Only if they'll print out George Takei's review of it and stop it on there and ship it over to me. They did actually have, I saw someone did like the 10 most ridiculous deals of, you know, Amazon. What are they calling it? Just Black Prime Day?
Prime
Day. All right, here
it's,
we go.
It's Prime Day. Prime Day. It's Christmas in July.
Okay.
But Amazon started it as Prime Day as a reward for Prime membership. And I think a way to get people to sign up for Prime membership as well.
But they didn't get the Prime products. They got everything on the clearance table, right?
You're saying it was Decepticons?
There were some good deals on some TVs. There was a 50-inch Samsung flat-screen TV for a really good price. There was a good price on a laptop. I wanted a GoPro. They had a GoPro, but it was a GoPro package with a bunch of extra stuff. So it was a discount on that package.
It came with an extreme skater.
It was refurbished with blood on it.
There's Dorito dust in this.
Ew.
Anyway, there were some good deals. Apparently, they were quite overwhelmed with all that was going on.
Wow. And this was the stuff that was going to be delivered by drones, right?
Half the coverage was that, wow, there's all incredible deals. And the other half was, people are disappointed with the deals and that they sell out too soon. There was sort of two tacks that any journalist
took. I think people were really disappointed that not enough people were trampled to death because it was online.
Yeah, that's what I was. How can you virtually.
I must say, when you hype it by saying, this is going to be like Black Friday, but more.
Well, Amazon sort of experienced some trampling. Some of their servers went down. They had an EC2 outage or whatever they used to host their stuff.
Can't they just move up, you know, Amazon.com into the cloud?
Did you see the T-shirt that said there's no such thing as the cloud? It's just somebody else's computer. That applies here.
Was it signed by Flicted?
Well, and it was signed by Jeff Bezos, probably.
There were a bunch of people that were passing around stickers that had a cloud, and inside of it said there is no such thing as the cloud.
It's just someone else's computer.
I think this one said something like it's just computers or it's just the internet or something.
Next,
like
you're
that.
Computers all the way down.
Next, you're going to tell us the dark web doesn't exist.
Dark web doesn't exist.
But they just busted dark code.
Whatever.
Dark code. It was full of dark code even in the
there
dark
is no,
web.
There is no dark web. These are not the dark webs you're looking for.
So, yes, I'm back from Comic-Con. It is it is certainly a big nerd event.
So, is the fever set? Are you going to go back next year?
I'm going back.
Like, yeah. I was going to say, I guess put it on Facebook or something that it was a very, very glowing review of like how much you loved it.
I did love it.
On a scale of one to love, How would you rate it?
He's going to marry
love.
So I'm highlights?
I'm going to take it under the bleachers.
That's legal now. Supreme Court said
so. He went past Trekker to Trekkie.
Well, it's a very it's kind of a predictable event. I mean, if you've ever been to any kind of comic book convention at all,
it's like that.
It's like that, but times a million. So there's like 150,000 people or whatever that attend over the course of the weekend, and the entire convention center, which it's a huge convention center. It's not, it's probably as, at least as big as the George R. Brown, and it takes up the whole thing.
It looks like a boat. The shot you got of the Spaceballs crew looked like they had gone on a cruise. Like they, you know, abandoned Spaceball 1 and hopped on like a Princess Cruise line.
But so the whole bottom floor is everything you can imagine, from artists to authors to all the big media outlets. Fox is there. BBC is there. And they're selling all their, you know, swag. And some of it's is convention center exclusive. So a lot of the, like, there were some convention, Comic-Con convention exclusive Star Wars figures that were being released for the first time. And so one thing about San Diego Comic-Con...
Was it like old Luke Skywalker and really old Han Solo?
They were there.
Didn't they release a trailer?
No. There was some behind-the-scenes footage of the filming of the new movie.
Which was really cool.
It was so good. I saw the thing. It was so good.
But so one thing about San Diego Comic-Con is, from beginning to end, from my experience of discovering how you can attend this thing to actually attending it, one common thread runs all the way through, and that is waiting in line.
Wow.
Even for press media? That's even, how you wait, right?
Press media does not get any special consideration in terms of the actual con. There are some press-related events that if you're – depends on how high up in the press food chain you are. So, like, I didn't get to go to the Walking Dead press thing, but I got to go to the Archer press thing. So
who cares about the Walking Dead? Let's talk about Archer.
Did you kill Archer? Because H. John Benjamin was in the shots early on, and then the final lineup.
No, he vanished. So if you want to attend as a normal human being, you have to be there online the moment that tickets go on sale and go into a queue and try to get tickets. So they say 6% of the people that go to Comic-Con or that want to go to Comic-Con get to go to Comic-Con.
6%
of the people that try.
I'm going to try my luck at Harvard.
So, so that's the first thing. So you have to be prepared. You have to know that that date's coming up. You have to have your email reminders. You have to know that it's there. And you have to make sure that your computer actually works and has internet connectivity, and you're not actually at your job or delivering a baby or whatever. So you can be in front of your computer when those tickets go on sale, and 15 to 20 minutes later, they're gone.
That sounds like Amazon Prime Day, but bigger.
So that's the first thing. So that's you go, okay, so I've waited and I've figured all of this out, and I'm going to go to Comic-Con, and I'm one of the 6%, and I've scored tickets. Now, I tried as a normal human being 2 years in a row to get tickets, didn't succeed. Mm. And then I leveraged my celebrity and got press credentials and got in this year. So I beat that. So the next thing that happens is, after you buy your tickets, is they have the hotel lottery. So you cannot you cannot get a hotel in the main in downtown San Diego. You cannot book it now. You cannot book it, you know, several months ahead. You have to wait.
Not with a mouse.
The Comic-Con cartel.
We'll not book it with a fox.
You will not book it. It's your loss. So they have a day that the what they call hotel apocalypse comes up. And so you have to then, again, be in front of your computer. And you have the pre-list. You have the list of all the hotels that are available for Comic-Con. And you pick your top six. So these are the six hotels that I want to – you pick them. You can pick them in order. I don't think it matters. You pick.
But people roll down that much. I mean, there's that much contention.
You get six hotels. You pick them. You pick from the list where you want to go, and then you go, and they open up the registration for the hotels, and you quickly fill out a form and put in your six choices. And this year the form didn't work right, and so people were not getting stuck. So there's a big contention about that. So I got – I didn't get a hotel downtown. I got a hotel in the – you know, about 5 miles away, but I got on the waiting list and I got a hotel in downtown, but not near the, not super close to the convention center, but that's okay. So getting a hotel is a line. It's a lottery, and you may or may not get a hotel. I was lucky enough to get on the waiting list and got a decent hotel. You could book a hotel, say, like the Coronado on Coronado Island in advance without being part of the lottery, but it's like $500 a night. So if you want to pay, but if you want hotel rate, if you want convention rates, you have to get in line. So that's another thing in line. And so then the actual convention happens or comes up, and they have all the big panels. So you have the Star Wars panel. They had the Doctor Who panel where people from the show are actually there in the room, and they have what's called Hall H. And the lines start forming up for Hall H days in advance. So people are in line, and you can only wait in line during certain times. Like, people stay up all night to be in the line for the morning one.
And they clear it up. People go and stay in line, and then they're in the hall, and if they don't leave, they can stay thing is there.
They can stay. So, but, you know, it does have a way of kind of ebbing and flowing, clearing out. But all the big panels, people go in the morning, camp out in the Hall H if they get in, and wait for the Star Wars panel to happen, you know, or the Doctor Who panel.
Can you buy, like, food and drink in there? Like, Depends? Do they have vendors?
You can buy Depends, and you can...
Yeah, if you're not going to leave, you're going to need some relief.
Well, there's a structure to it where, you know, if you go with a group, you know, if the six of us were to go and stake out a place in line, then we could leave as long as somebody's holding our place and go and get food, go to the bathroom, do whatever.
Once you're in the hall, though, can you leave the hall?
You could only leave the hall for they have bathroom passes.
Oh, okay, there you go.
But you have to get back at a certain time to get back in.
Wow.
So there, a friend of mine.
But that gets ripe.
A friend of mine's daughter wanted to see some things on one particular day, and she camped out for over 36 hours. In line to get in to go see her things. So the lines are an event unto themselves.
There's nothing I like that much.
No.
I don't like anything enough but to wait in line for it.
The lines look fun. Like, are they playing games?
They're playing games. They're hanging out. If you had a group of people, you could probably, if the weather was good enough, you could probably make it work.
Outside.
What they do is you line up, and then around 10, 11 o'clock at night, they come through and they start handing out wristbands, and they've broken it into four groups. So if you stay in line, you keep your place, but if you have to leave, you can come back and get at the end of the line and still be pretty much assured you're going to get in. So you have to at least camp out till about 10 or 11, maybe later, to get a wristband, and then you can come back. First, you have to be back first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. like 6 o'clock, get in line, and that's still like they don't have your spot, isn't marked on the sidewalk. You get in wherever you get in. And so those are lines. Inside on the showroom floor, so many people are there to grab the exclusives. So they want that limited edition Star Wars figure or the Funko.
They've got to get there first for that?
Well, you've got to get there early to get there. So there are lines that form up inside the showroom floor. So like the BBC booth, for example, is in the middle of the showroom floor. And there's a line about 20, 30 people deep to get in. And you think, oh, that's not so bad. I'm going to go to the end of the line and get in line for that. The guy says, no, the line's over against the wall, the staging area for the line. And that's all around. And, like, you know, Hasbro had a booth there. There's a line for that that was, you know, a couple of hours if you wanted to shop at that store and buy those things. And people were walking around with giant bags of stuff that they had bought because they want the whole collectible mentality is there. That's the thing that seems to be more dominant at San Diego Comic-Con than any other comic book convention I've seen, is that people really bring their collector, you know, the collector mentality and say, I'm going to get this exclusive, and they buy it up, and they're walking around with giant bags, colorful bags, advertising the store, Hasbro, you know, Fox, whatever, walking around with their bags of stuff that they've bought. And inside the convention center, they've smartly placed a FedEx store.
Oh, so you can immediately just get it
home. Can immediately just go and get it boxed up and shipped home, because there's no... I mean, I saw families with each member of the family, five or six members of the family, four bags, two on each arm, just giant boxes of toys and whatever that they were buying.
Wow.
It was insane. But really, you know, for me, like Leo said, there was nothing there. I mean, I would like to have been in the panels, but there was nothing I was going to camp out for 36 hours to do. Now, you might get lucky if you go by the line and you'll see that the line has kind of gone down to maybe 30, 45 minutes. You might get in at the back of the hall or something like that. You could go. But the real fun thing is all the unofficial con stuff. Like, first of all, like out in front of the convention center is a sea of humanity. With, first of all, they've got tons of religious zealots out there telling you you're going to hell.
Was that a joke?
No,
or was that for real?
There's real ones, and then there's the Damien.
Well, that was what was funny, because yeah, you have the religious right out there with their self-contained speaker systems that they're wearing, and they're talking into a headset, and they're going, Jesus died for your sin. It's very monotone. It's just very matter of fact.
It's like that part in Contact where they're yelling at her as she goes into the thing, and it's like, whoa, that's not very cool at all.
So Superman 87 was really bad. All that read it shall perish.
You're going to burn in hell. So there are people out there that are trolling those people. So there's a new show called Damien coming out, which is a TV series about the Antichrist. And it's a kind of a semi-comedy. So there's all these people dressed in black with all their signs saying, "My blood for him, all hail Damien," and they're mingling with the Christians. And it was quite funny. And other people, you know, were pranking on him. And there were fake protesters out there for just, like, there was a guy dressed up as an old lady, you know, advocating texting while driving, and just
I saw something where there was somebody dressed up like the Joker, and he had a sign that was about Marvel or about DC Comics or something like that, where he was protesting
something
alongside the Christians. But
be careful, don't they feed Christians to the lions there at Comic Con? Boom, boom.
It's just
Lion Con. Sorry,
it's just you know, it's just a big sea of weirdness in it.
Now I heard that at the Star Wars panel, after after J.J. Abrams did all of the footage reveal, and they talked to the cast, some that, like, they handed out like wristbands and vouchers to
this
everybody in the
true
audience, and immediately went, like, they got buses and took them. It was like
an
Andy Kaufman thing.
The one more thing is like, hey, who wants to go see like a live Star Wars concert? Everyone goes like, I do. Yes, yeah, so they
gave
them
John,
all white
with whoever that did the composition.
Yeah,
was
and
there
with the full symphony, I believe San Diego Symphony, Philharmonic Symphony, and then they also gave everyone a free lightsaber of different colors, and you got to wave the lightsabers and jump around. And
now, I mean, reading that, you just think, well, all I had to do was show up to this stupid panel, and I could have gone to a magic Star Wars concert. But it sounds like if you wanted to be in that panel hall, you had to have been planning that.
Yes.
For, like, you had to have been planning it probably all year, and you had to have been executing that plan for, like, the past several days.
Well,
although what I read is
your path to that free lightsaber involved getting online and getting on the virtual line to get tickets, getting a hotel, getting there, standing in line
for literally days
to do it.
For the Star Wars one, I bet it was literally
days. And because
days.
Because this was a big deal, because the new Star Wars movie has got so much hype around it and so much excitement. It was, people were saying, and I think it's accurate to say that people say, we are a part of history. This is a part of the Star Wars canon, and I was a part of it. And so, yeah, but it was quite a commitment to get to do it. And, of course, you know, did you read who had the panel after the Star Wars panel?
Kevin Smith.
Who was obviously then not at the concert because
he was at
the next panel.
Well, Kevin Smith's getting ready to do his panel. It's following up the Star Wars panel. He thinks he's going to have a room full of people. They say
nothing.
He still had several thousand people, but he was quite bent out of shape because everybody just went, hey, see you later.
He got a free dinner.
Follow me.
But he did get an apology from J.J. Abrams, so there is that.
Well, J.J. Abrams has invited him on set. He's been on set and spoken about it at least once that I saw in his Smodcast, where he talked about going on to the Millennium Falcon set, because it's all practical. They have a big, gigantic Millennium Falcon. And, I mean, it's not like the outside ambience. They didn't build the spaceship, but, like, they have the interior is all built out like they do with spaceship sets. And he said, you know, he went in and
He teared up.
He said, you know, props to J.J. Abrams. And, like, I got on there and I looked around and, like, it'd be like being 8 years old, all came back. And that, more than anything else, has gotten me excited about the new movie, because you know, I mean, for better or for worse, Kevin Smith is kind of like the inner dumb voice of people who are my age. And when he gets excited about something that's Star Wars related, I tend to listen, because he likes a lot of the same things that I like.
There's also rumors that J.J. Abrams asked him to work up a treatment of a young Han Solo with Nicolas Cage.
How long did you
get what the inside joke is on that? Da-da-da. Kudos to you.
What's that, Barrett?
How long do you have to wait in line for the Friendship is Magic
That was amazing. There was nobody there.
Really?
Sure.
Well, no. I don't think anybody knew. I'm sure they did things there because that whole popcorn thing was like a podium or a dais. And it was funny because I was walking around with some friends through the convention center, and their My Little Pony Friendship is Magic just rises glowing rainbow-like out of the middle of the convention floor. And I see that dais, and I saw somebody else getting their picture. I lined my camera. I said, this would be great. Mitch, take my camera. And I ran over there and got that photo.
It's a glorious, magical photo because all that's in frame is just all this, you know, My Little Pony stuff just popping. And then there's just Jay Lee with, you know, looking like you're pretty happy about being in the picture.
Jay is magic.
The idea came to me, and I said, this is reflected. This is totally reflected. I don't have the picture.
We need to put it on the Geek Radio site.
I need to put it on the Geek Radio site. I was posing for the picture, and I was so actually very happy that this was all happening, and I had this great idea. And I put my hands on the podium, and I just leaned forward and got that big grin. And literally everybody around, just strangers, just all busted out laughing. They were so amused at this little old man getting all excited about ponies.
Wow.
I think it was magic for a lot of people.
They probably thought that you'd made that pilgrimage just for that moment.
Unbridled passion.
Star Wars is one thing, but ponies.
Can't wait for that viral
animated
video.
Animated ponies.
But I definitely know how I would do things a little bit differently going into it again. I think my press credentials will be good for next year.
Sounds like going in as media is the way to go. Highly recommended if you can swing that.
You know, you're not really immune to the, you don't get away from the lines. I will say that having media credentials got me access to some floors, not necessarily to the press events, but I got access to the press floor, which has clean bathrooms and is air conditioned.
So it sounds like the way to do it is to actually get in like with like New York Times press credentials or something. That would be the ideal way
If you could get in with credentials that, you know, popped up on the different promoters' radar that said, we want that person, that media outlet to cover our event. Because, you know, nobody was getting into the Doctor Who event unless they were national level or global level.
So my Daily Planet press creds aren't going to get me anywhere.
Sadly.
And they look legit.
And the other thing is that I really enjoyed, and I learned a lot about my taste in cosplay. I mean, there was a lot of serious cosplay going on, which is, you know, people dressed in costume from the things that they love. There was a lot of, I mean, there were so many. You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a harlequin, that's for sure. But everybody in their dog dressed as harlequin. The best one was a guy dressed as harlequin. I think that's the way to go. What I really enjoyed in cosplay was the humorous cosplay. There's the serious, like, I'm a fan and I'm going to dress up and I look like I'm pretty enough or I'm muscular enough to pull this off. And then there's the people that are not quite there, but they're still very enthusiastic. And then there's the people that say, you know what? I'm going to put a Darth Vader helmet on my head and a bathing suit and some floaties. And
it's a clever mashup because they did like that picture was like a Pulp Fiction mashup was the feeling I got with that. And by the way, we're also at the pool with some floaties.
Yeah.
And it just kind of worked, you know.
Everything was really good in that regard.
There were some interesting, I saw some pictures where they had the steampunk cosplayer of like Wonder Woman and that, and then the kind of more traditional one. That was kind of cool because they put them both in the same picture. So you saw what both of them were doing.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, oh, hey, here's a hot chick in a Wonder Woman costume, which
here's
I'm
two
sure
hot
were
chicks.
Hot and cold running
one,
deals.
One in a wooden one.
Wonder Woman and Wondrous Lady, steampunk version.
So, yeah, there's definitely something for everyone. There is, you know, I think because the con is so big and when you're dealing with that many people, there is a little bit of a shady undercurrent that you got to be careful of.
Like
the bronies?
Yeah, like the bronies.
like the Jell-O pudding booth?
No, you know, I mean, one of the things that comes
Tell
up...
Tell us more.
One I of didn't walk away that, with a smile.
No, it's on my lap.
One of the things that comes up at cons lately has been the whole, like, you know, costume is not consent. So there are women that are dressed, you know, very provocatively in their cosplay outfits that, you know, when someone sees them, they think, well, you know, you're half naked. I can touch you. And so there's,
whoa.
So yeah. there's boundary issues there. And there's also just, you know, there are people like, there are probably pickpockets in there. I read one story about a guy who was, who was trying to get one of the exclusives. And he,
well, I say there's a lot of money there because people are buying a lot of stuff.
Well, some guy that was right on his blog, he was talking about that there was a exclusive that he wanted to get, and he tried, and he was going to get it, and he kind of got punched by someone who wanted ahead of him, so he didn't want to mess with that, so he walked away. He found somebody later who had an extra one, and he was going to pay him, you know, an extra $10 for it or whatever. And he pulled out some money. He pulled out a $100 bill, and somebody walked up and just grabbed the $100 bill out of his hand and disappeared into the crowd.
Jeez.
And then there's the whole line cutting thing. Like, I did my part. The only line I stood in was the BBC line because I wanted a Doctor Who shirt exclusive. And so I got in line. It was only about 45 minutes to do the whole thing, which was fine. And I got in line, and we got up to the staging where we got to the actual booth. And this guy just jumps in line in front of me, you know, just like no big deal. Like
immediately in front of you or somewhere vaguely?
Two people in front of me. So the two of us ripped him back out and told him to go where he needed to go. But
which was straight to hell.
Which was two more people in front of you.
It's not just the nerds. It's not just all the people that are from our culture. There's a lot of outsiders, I think, going there, you know, that are trying to, I mean, because it's a spectacle. It's almost like, it's like if you go to London or you go to Paris,
Nerd Zoo,
you go to Comic-Con, you know, it's a thing to see.
Although they have to spend a lot of time and effort to be able to get tickets to get in there.
I was going
to
say, those are some really, those pickpockets are very good planners. Because
well,
they've got to put that in motion quite a ways.
There's also a black market for the badges and stuff. They're supposed to check. They check your ID, but you know, you can give your badge. I could have given my badge to someone. They could have used it to go in. Nobody checked my badge. Check once they got me initially registered. And if you're a pickpocket or if you're looking to scam, it's if you pay $100 to get in, you can make that money back pretty quick.
Okay.
So
I was expecting the pickpockets to be honest up front.
Yeah, I got my tickets legitimately so I could steal your. I mean, I don't know for sure that that's the case. I mean, heard a couple of stories of people getting stuff stolen from them. I felt like, you know, you needed to be on guard a little bit.
It was 150,000 people. Just the tale of raw numbers,
right,
means that you're going to find at least a couple hundred who would be bad people.
I got robbed by Sailor Moon. And okay, well, which one of the 10,000?
Steampunk Sailor Moon.
Did you see
which one of the 4,000?
Hold on, I'm gonna spot any celebrities like just out on the floor.
I didn't spot any celebrities out on the floor so much. I did. I ran into Kevin Durden from The Strain, who's the psycho rat catcher guy from The Strain.
He looked really young in that picture, and I thought he was an older guy.
Steampunk Sailor Moon. just Google image search that, and man, there's a ton of them.
I think there's steampunk everything at this point.
But it's an interesting event, and then also not only what's going on at the convention center, but the whole, you know, the way it's laid out is kind of terrible because they've got in front of the convention center is a very narrow road. And then there are railroad tracks and the trolley tracks.
Like so, Caltrain or what goes through there? Is the big one?
Like Amtrak.
Okay, wow.
But it doesn't come through that often. But then there's also the trolleys. And there's like two or three cross paths that, you know, you have to cross the street, go across the tracks to get into the gas lamp quarter. They should build a bridge or a tunnel or something.
I mean, is other than Comic-Con, is San Diego really a big convention city?
I don't think so.
Because in all of my years, I never went to anything in San Diego.
I think they do. I think they, you know, at least they try to have a lot. I know.
Okay.
But everything outside of the convention center, in the gas lamp quarter, up and down the tracks there's a walkway you can go walk up and down. There are other people that have set up, you know, different networks have set up booths with interactive stuff. There was the Adult Swim Park theme park,
nice,
which was fun. There was Assassin's Creed
assassination booth.
It was a parkour.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, jump off the tower and land in the
land in this hay basket from 400 feet up.
First, sign this waiver.
And of course, it lost in the shadow of Star Wars was the really big announcement, which was Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no, is what they call it. And there were there was like a whole batch of women dressed in silver shark outfits roaming around the streets like schools of sharks.
Are we talking like Katy Perry Left Shark kind of shark outfits?
No.
These were just dizzy sharks falling from the sky. So is this this was a publicity stunt, not just people showing up and saying, hey, we want to
do this? No, okay. It was a sci-fi publicity stunt for
Sharknado.
For Sharknado 3, oh, hell no. And there was one moment where I kind of went into an infinite loop because there was the Sharknado. There was these guys dressed as Uncle Sam with sharks stuck through their body on stilts. And they were walking around going, oh, hell no, Sharknado 3. And then all of a sudden, Duffman walked up, and he went, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, hell no. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know what to do. Oh.
Duffman says, too many sharks. Oh, no.
It was a very, very good time, and there was a lot of interesting costumes. And of course, Spaceballs was a big thing because
yeah. So, what
Star
about
Wars.
This Spaceballs reunion thing? What happened?
There was this guy, and those guys.
So there was, so you know, Spaceballs big. Having a reunion for Spaceballs is getting real close to the same as having a reunion of the Beatles. You need to have it in the afterlife.
Well, Rick, a lot of CGI.
Rick Moranis, surprisingly enough, is Rick Moranis retired from acting like many, many years ago, but he's still around. They did, I think, like the AV
to
Club
be,
did
to
an
be
interview
a good
with him
father.
Recently. Yeah,
he shrunk his career.
No. Well, I mean, he made his gigantic pile of money and then bailed out to be with his family. And good for him. But, yeah, he's still around. And maybe if they do Spaceballs 2, he'll come out of retirement. Or they'll do Spaceballs 3, the search for Spaceballs 2.
In February, Mel Brooks said that he might get around to finally making a fabled Spaceballs 2, the search for more money, but only if Dark Helmet actor Rick Moranis is on board. So there's a possibility, but it would have to be a duo.
Well,
man, how old is Mel Brooks now?
He is up there.
2000.
Well, when the Spaceballs cosplayers showed up, there were some other people going, the Schwartz also awakens.
He's 89.
89.
Wow. Yeah.
Is Carl Reiner dead?
No, he's 93.
They
really
get together
the
like every
man.
Week. The two of them
they
get
did
together. If you read, there's been articles and they hang out.
They did a Seinfeld Comedians in Cars episode.
Did
it's
they?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
You know, I heard Gene Wilder, I think, is still alive.
He's 82.
Yes. Good Lord.
Look, everyone's. I've got these four actors pulled up on my page when I did the search for the agent. Everyone's asked without seeing my screen. Everyone's asked about every actor that also popped up. That's awesome. And no one cares about.
Abe
we got them all. Max Brooks doesn't even care about Max.
No, what
about
Abe Vigoda?
Okay, that's fine.
Also announced, which I saw just a little snippet of it, one time I got into Hall H, because it apparently didn't draw that much attention to itself, was the Scooby-Doo and Kiss Rock and Roll Mystery.
What? Rock and Roll? That's awesome.
And it looks great.
I want to solve mysteries all night long and part of every day. And part of every day.
And eat Scooby snacks
Scooby
every day.
With a big
I think
tongue.
They lost a big opportunity there to have Scooby be the painted up like the cat instead.
Oh, yeah. But no. All right. So anyway, San Diego Comic-Con, two thumbs up.
Outstanding.
You realize you've got a conflict coming up. BronyCon, the official BronyCon, and DefCon are the same week. So you're going to have to make a call.
Are they both in
you
Vegas?
Know what?
No, they're not.
One thing,
it's going to have to be
one thing I can extrapolate from the fact that all of my friends with 8 to 12-year-old daughters who were so envious of me I could extrapolate that the bronies would also probably be hating for how much how much brony access I had.
They'd be way more hating.
I mean, I declare myself king of the bronies.
You know, if you think about it, in a couple hundred years, they won't be having Renaissance festivals. They'll be having cons. It's just like in the 21st century.
You're going to simulate
you dress up
a
in costumes and we'll go into a big hall and have...
Well, in a way, San Diego Comic-Con was kind of like a comic Renaissance festival. It was like a Renaissance festival for comic nerds. So you had a lot of people that were there just to look on, but then there was certainly a very large percentage of people that at least put on a Captain America t-shirt or something, you know, to kind of do their thing. But it was kind of like a Renaissance festival.
Although the comic content of Comic-Con seems to be rather thin compared to the movie con.
Well, but the movies are all about the comics.
Somebody mentioned that, you know, when Hollywood decided to start pillaging the comic book industry for all of their, I mean, that's what a lot of what the content is now. I mean, you've got all the Spider-Man, you've got the Batmans, you've got the Avengers, all the franchises. Now they're just basically, you know.
Well, you even have the canon arguments. I saw that where they're talking about the whole Batman versus Superman thing, whether or not it's canon.
No, never argue canon with a comics enthusiast, especially not someone who's read a lot of X-Men. It's just a lot of it.
We're going to be here a long time.
While you were attending Comic-Con, I was having my own comic experience, kind of along the same lines. Yeah. I watched Avengers: Age of Ultron on an airplane on a teeny tiny screen this big. So you had the in living color 3D experience of being there, and I watched the movie like this and the screen this big with my earbuds that I could barely hear the movie on. And I think you probably had the better experience.
That's like Comic-Con.
It's kind of sad when you're looking on a screen where the Hulkbuster armor is actually smaller than the action figure of the Hulkbuster
armor. It kind of was, actually.
I saw that.
How is
I guess
that movie, by the way?
Well, I mean, from what I saw and heard of it...
It would be better bigger.
it was fine. Ultron was pretty cool. I was down with Ultron.
He seemed a little bit too... human-y and not.
I haven't seen
he was very
AI
human-y.
Enough.
From what I understand, that characterization is correct.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought he was cool. I mean, obviously, I didn't agree with his plan to destroy all life on Earth.
It's kind of hard to get behind. You
but
know.
He seemed like a cool guy.
Although you weren't a plane, you would have been fine for a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the best comic book based movie has yet to come, and I think it's going to be Deadpool.
Yeah, that looks actually pretty good.
I'm just not. I know Deadpool gets a lot of love, but I'm just not feeling it.
What about Ant-Man? Have you seen the preview for the
movie?
Yeah,
I've seen the previews. When I saw Ryan Reynolds' previous run as Deadpool in the terrible movie, but then I saw the CGI tease that got turned into the real tease. I mean, I've seen all the promo stuff. I know he's like you know he's a hilarious guy. He breaks the fourth wall, and you know I'm just not feeling it, man.
What about Suicide Squad?
That's next year.
August 26th.
So there were two big trailers that came out from Comic-Con. One was the Batman versus Superman one, and then the other one was the Suicide Squad trailer, which is all of the DC. It's DC, right? Mm-hmm. All the DC bad guys, all kind of getting together and doing a Expendables type mission, I guess. I thought I was going to really like the Batman versus Superman trailer, and I thought I really wasn't going to care about Suicide Squad, and it was totally the inverse. The Batman versus Superman trailer, I thought, was this movie looks dumb. I absolutely just like lead balloon, didn't like it, flop. And then I saw the Suicide Squad trailer, and I started out like within the first 10 seconds, I was like, yep, I'm going to hate this. Yep, I'm going to, that's kind of neat. Oh man. By the end of it, I was like, oh, this movie's going to be great.
Seemed like a lot of people, the place where they were mixed on it was on the Joker or not, if they liked the Jared Leto.
Well, it looks like Jared, I mean, for the, you know, the 5 seconds they show him, it looks like Jared Leto is being very, it looks like he's paying a lot of homage to Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
It looks like he's like the Jack Nicholson Joker, that's gone, that's over.
This is much more real, much more dark, it goes in a darker place.
It's
and he
very
looks like he's
much
really
darker.
Owning the character.
But in a very Heath Ledger-y kind of way.
Hopefully not to the same depths.
Well, you know, not owning it that hard.
And everything else, but he looks dark and he looks creepy and a little bit crazy. Like, I wouldn't want to be in an elevator with him,
yeah.
You know, for much more than a floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out.
I liked it. I thought the trailer looked good. I liked it when I wasn't expecting to like it. And the opposite with Batman versus Superman, which I just looked terrible.
They didn't keep you from sad Batman looks sad to mad Batman looks mad.
You know what? I mean, it wasn't like it's not. I don't have any qualms about Ben Affleck playing the role. I'm sure Ben Affleck will do it fine. And we know that. Is it Henry Cavill is playing Superman? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's Henry Cavill. I don't want to get that wrong.
The one from yeah.
The one who just did Superman movie. In the previous movie. I mean, he does a fine Superman. Although honestly, I thought Brandon Routh did a much better Superman. Frankly, I thought Brandon Routh in the previous the anti-penultimate Superman movie was the absolute best one because he was like Chris Reeves come again. But no, I'll say so. Yeah, Suicide Squad looks really great. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'd be cool.
One last note about Comic-Con that was interesting is, you know, everything in that area gets wrapped with advertisements. So,
oh, I'm sure.
So the whole Conan,
like the talk show host,
the talk show host broadcast
Conan, not Conan.
Conan. Conan broadcast his show from Comic-Con, and each episode had a bunch of. I haven't seen him.
Was it Triumph there?
I didn't see Triumph.
Comic Insult Dog.
But everything was wrapped in advertisements. One hotel had an entire thing about Conan, and all, you know, for his show. And then all the buses and the trains are wrapped with advertisements for the Muppet Show and for everything that they're trying.
Oh, that's right. There's a new Muppet Show. There is.
There's a new Muppet television.
There's a trailer for it online, and it actually it's like they're taking way more of a grown up stance with it.
There are always a lot of grown up jokes.
Kermit talks about smoking weed, and there's like all kinds of.
I know they're just catering to like 12-year-olds.
But it was so prevalent. When you get there and you see everything's just all the bars and all
the professionally done, not like people just coming
professionally,
up and...
No, and all the restaurants are sponsored by different media outlets, so you have like, you know, the Avengers bar or whatever, all this stuff going on. But beyond that...
Avengers shawarma place.
the Avengers hookah bar. So when you get there and you register to go in the con, surprisingly, registration was like quick. I mean, I was in and out with my badge. Nothing flat. You get your package. All attendees get a swag bag and the program and the guide and everything. And then the bag is this giant backpack that you can wear. It's super wide and it's advertising something. It's advertising one of the new television shows or a movie or something. But people use that to put all their stuff. And it's clever because it's actually useful because you're getting stuff handed to you left and right.
Did you come back with a lot of stuff?
I did not.
Could
not.
You have?
I could just, have. Okay. Oh, absolutely, I could have. And my friend, I ran into my friend Mitch Lawyer up there, and his wife and his kids were out there. And their thing is they bring a tube, and I see a lot of people do that. Bring a tube just to collect all the posters. You go to a talk, and they'll give out free posters. And so, but people are all walking. So everywhere you're looking is just sensory overload for advertising for something having to do with either science fiction or cartoons or comic books or whatever. It's just
people
everywhere.
Living there must hate that.
I will say San Diego is a very weird town for, I mean, I just noticed everything seems to kind of move at a slower pace. I mean, the downtown doesn't even have that. Like the roads we go up there didn't have red lights. They had stop signs. So it's just like, you know, meandering down the road.
They just like lines there.
Well, from
they
a
do.
Park,
I mean, that's a place where people who like to wait in line go.
You know, think about it from a marketer's perspective, though. You've got the people who, if you get their attention, they're the ones that are going to talk about it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
The perfect audience to hit who are going to be have a lot of connections.
Probably
to other
advertising
people.
Dollars well spent versus where else.
If
you
do the right thing,
money.
I'm sure. Yeah. If you know, of course, if you blow it, then you're going to have. Well, I guess maybe they talk about you anyways. But,
well, I mean, if you looked at any of the national news coverage. During and after Comic-Con, there's a lot of stories coming out. A lot of people talking about, you know, because it happened at Comic-Con, it automatically gives it a certain amount of credibility and attention worthiness. And so they're doing their best during these panels and stuff to make it kind of go beyond the convention. Like, oh, they're, you know, like they have this event called Nerd HQ, which is a charitable thing where it's called Conversations for a Cause, but they attract some really big name people to come and be on this kind of podcast and that people could attend at Comic-Con. And Bryan Cranston was on one.
And oh yes. Saw that.
The one where he drops the
mic.
Yes.
I saw the mic drop. That was the most, that was amazing.
You know, so there's all kinds of stuff going on in the events. And
did you see that video?
No.
Well, basically, Bryan Cranston.
I know what I'm doing after the show, though. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
All right. Does he say I'm the one who drops?
No. Something like that. He just answers a question in a very unexpected fashion.
Yeah, no, don't tell. Just tell me after the show. I want to know how to find it, but I don't know why.
Just do Bryan Cranston Nerd HQ.
Okay.
Or Bryan Cranston Mic Drop. you'll find it.
Was it a Chris Hardwick thing or
no? Just an audience member asks Bryan Cranston if he has any memories, any favorite spots or things.
The guy was from Albuquerque, and he says, you know, you were there filming the show, and I'm from Albuquerque, and I just want to know what your thoughts were. Did you have a good time? Did you like it? And Bryan Cranston.
Did you do anything fun? Or
yeah.
Did you, yeah.
And Cranston's response was so unexpected.
I'm not going to say it.
And he just delivers it. It's like.
It was absolutely out of left field.
It was like, God, brutal. But I would pay to have that happen to me. Because the guy who asked the question. Is internet famous now because he's the one.
Oh, just
because
of that?
Because yeah. Bryan Cranston answered his question and that
destroyed him.
The video is viral. He destroyed him. Yeah, it was awesome. Anyway, so Comic-Con, two thumbs up. Definitely go if you can. And DEF CON coming up.
We'll listen to it
during
the break,
yeah.
If we can here.
I think there's still rooms here and there, and then you can always not stay in official.
And then later this year, there's the whole 20th anniversary for the show.
That's yeah. Right. Yeah. Is anybody actually invited Dwight to come on the air yet? And should we do that, or are we going to leave?
We should do that. Have a little. I don't know what we do for the show, but we're going to have a little party.
He's probably
or something.
Not
we want to do the.
I can't do it like he can.
Want to do something maybe? October.
Cool weather would be nice.
Yeah,
cooler. It won't. I mean, October is
November.
October. We could.
I'll
do
be
it.
Out of the country.
We could
in November.
Do it outdoors in giant halls and have girls carrying big mugs full of beer. Oh, wait. Now somebody else is already doing that.
Sounds like a veritable festival in October.
Lederhosen.
Lingonberry.
Bavaria.
I don't get it. I know what a lingonberry is, but what's the reference?
It's Big Lebowski stuff is what
oh,
I was thinking.
Lebowski.
Just the whole the references.
I'm not
and,
as much
the
of a
general...
Lebowski fan as I suppose I should be. I mean, I liked it.
Nihilists.
Well, if your girlfriend gave up her toe... You would understand.
I know it was a good carpet. It tied the room together.
Rug.
Rug. Yeah, we're going to.
Guy had a marmot.
What are you, a park ranger?
It's not fair.
Yeah, having an unlicensed water mammal in the city limits.
Are these guys going to hurt us? No, Donnie, these men are basically cowards.
Ah. All right. Well, I totally dominated the first hour of the show with Comic-Con.
You should have carried it for
another 5 or 6 minutes of Comic-Con. Let's see. Yeah,
Comic-Con shot.
Take it away, there, Comic-Con shot.
Now, you would have liked. There's another thing. There was the folks from DJI showed up.
Oh yeah.
And so they had rented a barge, some kind of motorized flat
thing,
boat thing, and they pulled it up because the bay is right there behind the convention center between Coronado Island and the convention center, and so they brought this flat thing out, and the idea was that they were going to demo their quadcopters and drones.
They have a new one coming yeah. out, the Phantom 3 or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and I got there, and right as they opened up and I got onto the craft and was talking to DJI representatives and that was a lot of fun. And
Mike Perry or one of their PR guys?
I don't know who's who in okay. that group, but I'm sure if anybody important would have been there. But
bearded guy with glasses, lots of dark hair. That's Mike Perry. He's their main PR guy.
I could Google Mike
Perry.
It's
not really that important.
But anyway, I went to that, and unfortunately, now they have this cool thing. DJI Phantom has this thing where you can actually wear this mask.
Yeah, FPV, first person. Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to fly with it. I guess you could.
Okay, that's Mike Perry.
Yeah, he was. I
Beardy
saw
guy.
But a lot of FPV pilots do fly with those. Like they fly with their.
But it's cool because you can turn your head and it moves the camera.
Oh no, that's
yeah,
new.
Help,
and
yeah.
that
help tracking,
and,
yeah.
And so the unfortunate thing was is that they set this all up. And they were ready to give this really cool, you know, all day presentation of flying drones out over the bay.
Yeah.
And the FAA came by and said,
Why?
Just because of the high traffic or whatever. So they had to build a net over the boat. And
lame.
They could only fly it inside of there.
Lame.
And so that really detracted from it. But I did I did get to put on the goggles and have them fly it, and I was looking around, and it's very weird to see yourself.
Yeah,
it's like an out-of-body experience.
It is kind of like up above your body. You could have an out-of-body experience.
And then you were rising up above your body into the heavens and saw yourself
hit
below.
The net. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool.
Those are neat. I'd like to try. I tried one at one of the Houston drone clubs, but it wasn't anywhere near that advanced. It was just goggles.
Right.
And it was almost nauseating because you were flying around, but you weren't moving.
Well, they have a thing coming up. Well, they're developed. I don't know if they have it yet, if it's available or not, but what you can do is you can be internet connected with these goggles mm-hmm. to a drone. So you don't even have to be where the drone is.
Oh, that's freaky.
So conceivably, I mean, I immediately thought of applications for this. Like if you want to
wage wars, you could do.
Well, no, but if you
fly over small disadvantaged countries.
Yes, all snark aside, if I wanted to say, you know, give virtual tours of something.
Afghanistan.
Like fly over to Niagara Falls. Or
Hippie Hollow.
All right, you
that's
win.
Not a small moon. that's no moon.
Let's keep Austin in Austin.
That is a moon.
So
you don't have to because you can connect remotely.
You can connect to the drone over the internet through the cloud, and they could fly. Somebody could fly the drone and take you wherever, and you can also. I think it would also sense the motion and allow you to control the camera and look.
Is there some kind of a? But so you don't get to fly the drone. Or you do get to, you're actually in control.
No, you're not in control of the drone.
Okay. But you're running the camera.
You're running the
camera. Because the camera's on a motorized.
It's just a way of taking the camera signal from the drone to the internet and then allowing you on the internet to connect to that drone.
Into your brain.
To the camera.
Directly.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah, I think there'd be too much lag to try to fly it.
Yeah. Well, that also, you could just fake your credentials and come in and, you know, terrorize people at Niagara Falls. That'd be no good. That could be abused.
They're getting real close to the helicopter. There was that attack helicopter where they sit, you know, tandem, where it's tied to the guy's head, and when he turns his head,
the Apache,
Is it the Apache?
It is the Apache. Yeah, the Apache has one where you can like look with your left eye, and it controls the turret, and you look with your right eye, and you got to be Marty Feldman could really
he's
fly.
He's not having a face spasm. He's in a Apache helicopter.
But there was somebody was flying, you know, of course there were drones that were not official that were flying all over the place at Comic-Con. So I think DJI was kind of like, okay, we got to play by the rules and everybody else is having a good time. Somebody was flying a drone that was a mock-up of a red doghouse with Snoopy on top of it, with goggles. And Snoopy's head would turn side to side and look around. It was just flying around, and it was awesome. Cool.
People are starting to get letters from the FAA on YouTube because YouTube, I guess, monetizes, you know, their content through commercials and through ads and stuff like that. So if you pilot a drone under like normal licenses, but say you can do it under hobbyist licenses, but you can't do it under commercial. The second you publish your drone video to YouTube,
you're pro,
and then you're getting letters, you know, nasty letters. So careful, drone pilots.
Yeah, be careful out there.
Fly safe. Fly free.
Keep your amateur status as long as you can.
Drones want to be free.
I did get to see Joss Whedon get mobbed by fans. That was, you know, I stood back and let that happen. That was kind of cool, but. There are opportunities for any kind of fandom that you're interested in to go to San Diego Comic Con.
Any kind of fandom?
Any kind.
All right.
Would you like to go upstairs? We have the special Comic Con for Elite Comic-Bron. Comic-Bron.
Cabronis. You've convinced me, sir.
All right, well, that music tells us we've got to take a short break, so we're going to come back and do some more Technology Bites after the break. It'll be less Comic-Con and more something else, but thanks for indulging us. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Wade.
And he's...
Groove House.
Yay.
Oh, it's Saturday. Hello, my friends. This is Rick Iscariot, yes, along with Cleotis Saturday, and Buck. Welcome you to tune in every Saturday on KPFT 90.1 FM at 9 o'clock until noon for the Lone Star Jukebox. Roots rock, Americana, country music at its best, great interviews, and we always have some great giveaways. Join us every Saturday to kick off your weekend on the Lone Star Jukebox at 9 and noon on KPFT 90.1 FM Pacifica Radio.
KPFT and Electro Love Radio Show are seeking sponsors for Electro Love Fest, a concert event this November 7th. The event will include rock and roll in the festive setting at Last Concert Cafe and the music of Fish, Pink Floyd, and the Talking Heads by some great Texas bands. $500 sponsors get a chance to co-host Electro Love Radio Show, repeat on-air mention, event banner display, mention of the KPFT email news, event admission and dinner for four with eight drinks, your logo on posters, thanks from the stage, meet the headliners, and get a signed poster. $100 sponsors will receive thanks on the air, logo on printed material, two admissions, thanks from the stage, and meet the bands. Proceeds from the event will benefit KPFT. We hope you'll join us and invite staff and friends. This will be big fun and an opportunity to reach thousands of KPFT listeners while helping community radio. Please call Hank Lamb at 936-239-0040 or Robin Lewis at 713-526-4000, extension 315 for details.
KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. We now return you to Comic-Con Bites.
Comic-Con
already
bites.
In progress.
It does bite.
All right, line up, everybody. We got another hour of Technology Bites here, special Comic-Con edition. Well, I feel like I actually did my part as being a press member of the press.
You brought Comic-Con back to Houston.
I did. I brought.
You made it live for us here in the studio.
I feel like I've been in line for.
I feel
forever.
Like there's marketing kind of all around us.
I feel that way. I feel transformed.
Is that Brony Fur?
Who's she?
I feel like friendship really is magic.
So magic. Much magic.
Wow.
Such rainbow. Wow.
Very magic. Many rainbow.
Oh, that would be wow. The cosplay to do is the Doge dog.
Doge dog.
Doge.
Do all right, so now we have another hour of Technology Bites to fill that's not going to be San Diego Comic-Con, so how do we want to work that out?
Many hours.
What other Comic-Cons are there that we
so
discuss?
Technology.
We can start with the news, I guess.
What?
What? Yes. What? You didn't have any expectation of that happening, did you?
No.
File open.
Bear time.
What is it Bear time?
Yes, Bear it's time news, with Peter news, Hughes.
Is there a Bear time?
Not until they do the info shot. A brony ate my homework.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
So last week we talked about Flash, you know, from zero-day exploits and all that kind of stuff.
Flash!
Mozilla. Mozilla is not playing any games with that.
Thanks, Jay.
As of Monday, they blocked Flash Player as a preemptive security measure. Although that seems unlikely, although they seem unlikely to block Adobe's latest Flash release. So Mozilla, you know, there was a hacking team thing where that they had three working exploits for Adobe Flash, and so Mozilla decided to block it. Since that decision was made, however, on Monday, Adobe appears to have updated its Flash Player to version 0.209, which is not blocked. Adobe had previously said it would fix all known vulnerabilities later this week. I guess emphasis on the word known in that sentence.
Fix vulnerabilities known and unknown.
You know, this is not the first time Adobe Flash has had critical vulnerabilities that needed to be fixed. What made Mozilla block Flash this time around was that at least three potential exploits are now publicly known, only one of which Adobe has acknowledged as fixed. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing to pay attention to, especially if you're not a big, you know, you don't really know what version of what software is on your computer. If you're going to update Flash, don't update it from some pop-up that tells you, oh, your Flash has expired, click here to update. You want to know that it either really came from your browser, because I do know that Chrome and Mozilla will pop it up or will make it a part of the browser itself, the browser software, to let you update it, or go to adobe.com and download the latest one and install it yourself.
Adobe really does user disservice here because they don't use the system update facilities on Mac or on Windows.
No, they pop don't up use their the own thing stuff. That's completely use, right. just yeah. a
and
pop-up.
And, of course, there are plenty of places that have figured out that uh-huh. they can make something that looks exactly the same.
Stupid Adobe.
And send people off to malware the heck out of them when they're trying to avoid that. So that's
I'm going
to
malware you.
There's our public service announcement for
actually just uninstall Flash. You don't need it. Get rid of it and your
Facebook
life will be better.
Facebook is apparently working hard on getting away from
quit
Flash.
Using Facebook too while you're at it.
Like but, give up your computer.
Well, the thing about it is once enough people give up, I know YouTube has kind of gotten to post Flash as long as you have a browser that's new enough.
Yes.
And others are working on it, but the problem is still compatibility. They still haven't really gotten HTML5 video.
Yeah, Facebook is
to
a big
be
holdout.
Something that you can count on working on all major browsers.
Yeah, yeah. IE is particularly bad about it.
So, well, it's the saddest thing because I've had to do that. I've worked on this for clients, so they're like, okay, well, we want to have videos on our site, and you're building a custom thing where they're going to upload their videos and it'll be part of their profile or whatever. And you look at the chart, and it's like there's always one format that's missing for all the current browsers. Right, none of them overlap. They all overlap with at least one other browser.
Right.
But they don't overlap with all the major
browsers.
It's
like with web fonts. It's the exact same thing.
And, so you have to have like three versions of the video and then fallbacks
it's supposed
outside
to cascade
of HTML5.
And the problem is that there's still the versions of the browsers that it's going to fail through to where you need the Flash version.
Which is the easy way out.
Or customer gets mad because they can't play the videos. Hmm. So there's that.
Stupid internet.
But in other news, this one's interesting, and I wonder how it would affect, you know, we've talked about at DEF CON the whole thing where, you know, how your Wi-Fi works is that it just kind of promiscuously goes, hey, are you my home network, yo, John, Wi-Fi
It goes through
10?
Everything it knows. It's, yeah. Hey, home network, work network, hotel network, are any of y'all out there?
And so now an interesting thing that's sort of part of the whole Internet of Things moving forward is, you know, right now Wi-Fi gadgets don't really communicate with each other before they connect, you know, which obviously limits what they can do. But that's going to change because there is a newly unveiled Wi-Fi aware spec. The technology has devices swapping tiny messages about their services when they detect each other, making it easy to send alerts and connect only to those devices you care about. You could quickly find nearby rivals for a multiplayer game, for example, or get a notification about a sale when you wander by a preferred store. You know, obviously, I guess this all comes down to how secure is Wi-Fi aware? If your phone is supposed to walk around accepting messages from
what could possibly go wrong
from whatever's nearby, that could have a problem. But the interesting thing is battery life shouldn't take a hit. Although Wi-Fi aware can run in the background, its use of a common heartbeat for the sync process could actually make it more efficient than conventional Wi-Fi. You'd hope they'd also take the opportunity to use this to make it more secure then, so that if you can get that message, it seems to me you could have something more of a secure connection because you're negotiating.
Yeah, but then you're also negotiating with unknown parties too, so it gets kind of messy.
Well, at least if you're going to have the list of your, like, I accept, you know, connect to this network every time you see it, mm-hmm. there should be, you know, it seems like passing a key or something.
Yeah,
it seems like
you should say, I want to connect to you, and it should say, yeah, I'm that, and here is my hash.
Well,
that
SSH
we've already
uses,
on.
Yeah, yeah, you exchange keys, and if exactly. it doesn't match up, it gives you a warning.
Where before,
and no
the thing where there's
kind of
no communication, yep. it's just kind of promiscuously, hey, is your network name, you know,
now, this
my
isn't
home network?
Related to Wi-Fi Sense, right? These two are kind of competing kind of things. Because Wi-Fi Sense, they put out there, Microsoft is behind that. And that's the one where they actually do want to share Wi-Fi details and connection details with, for instance, like friends in your Facebook network, where it's like if Jay came over and I wanted to give Jay access to my home network, I could download
all the bronies.
No, I could hit a button in Facebook or hit a button on something, and it would, through that Wi-Fi sense, give him access to it. So you're actually doing some kind of credential passing or token passing with the temporary credentials.
Oh, I hope it's token
a lot
based
because
that
out.
Scares me.
Yeah, a lot of people freaked out about that, and it just kind of got quiet, so I think they're kind of revamping that. Now there is this, so I'm wondering if this isn't somehow related.
This sounds
probably
like
not.
It's more for the
this sounds
kind
like
of
it's for advertising.
Piece.
Yeah.
Let's see. Social networks like Facebook and LinkedIn should start using it by the end of the year.
I guess this
sounds like it's got the same thing then. Because
earlier
on it was sounding more like just sort of quick communication. But now when essentially Facebook becomes like a radius box for your home Wi-Fi, I don't know if I care for that one either. Yeah.
Well, if LinkedIn is using it, then it's automatically terrible.
So aware could be crucial for an Internet of Things where you want devices to find each other with little effort. Your house lights could offer to turn themselves on the moment you come home, for instance. And since you'd have a much longer range than Bluetooth, you don't have to always be like right there for things to work.
I don't like any of this.
Okay, well, maybe you'll like this one.
Nope.
As a phone provider, you know, copper telephone networks are basically dying out. You know, it's going to fiber and particularly wireless-based voice over internet protocol services. The FCC has to figure out the rules for how to make home phones, you know, what to do during power outages. So right now, Federal Communications Commission Chairman Tom Wheeler has decided what the requirements should be. If you're going to do a voice over IP offering, carriers are going to have to offer 24-hour backup systems, but they will be able to charge consumers for the batteries. Apparently, they're going to vote on this. The proposal was circulated on Friday, and it's going to go to a vote in early August. If it's approved in its current form, voice over IP providers will have to offer 8-hour backup systems immediately and 24-hour backups within 3 years. Basically, you know, you probably figured this one out if you have it at home. If the power goes out, you know, in the olden days, the phone system had its own power.
Right.
So even if the lights were out, if you picked up the phone, the like keypad would
still
glow,
yeah,
and you'd get a dial tone and all that stuff. Where with the voice over IP, it's kind of like, well, just like with your wireless phone, obviously, you know, if the power went out, then your wireless phone didn't work because it didn't have enough to broadcast a signal.
The best part with the old phone system was if you like took the wires and stuck your tongue on it when it rang.
Yes, clearly that was the best part.
These new rules would not apply just to legacy voice providers with copper networks, but to any home voice over IP service, such as those offered by cable companies. So I'm sure they're all thrilled about that. I don't know how that works with the ones where you buy the box, you know, how that would work with you know, there's any number of, there's UMA and those others,
yeah,
that offer a service.
Well, I'm thinking how are they going to do that? Because the battery backup would have to power the router as well as the phone.
Brilliant idea.
Because if it just kept your phone power and you're like, oh, my phone still lights up.
Well, that's true.
But the router's dead, so I can't get to the internet.
Maybe that's why those aren't affected. The third-party ones that are providing it as a service, like Time Warner Cable and all of that, usually isn't the phone piece is separate from the actual like internet router.
If it's using voice over IP, it has to go across your internet connection.
Yeah,
it does.
Well, and I've been for the past couple of years, I've had a separate.
Well, I thought it went through its own. There's two connections, you know, and so that I guess if the router's not working,
I know some business clients
I have that there's a separate box for the voice over IP units than there is to the
for the home stuff. It's going to all come in on one thing. But yeah, I mean, I've had battery backup. I buy a separate UPS and keep my switch and my router on it for exactly that reason. Because
right.
when power goes out, like everything else goes out. But if I'm on my laptop or whatever, you still magically have internet even when the power's out, because it's the cable company or your ISP, they have power still for the same reason that the phone company does, because they have big ass large on-site battery backups or generators. I think we can say that. Sorry.
They don't have the list of the words you can't say anymore.
Put
so
a
I'm
Bitcoin
not sure.
in the swear jar, Lee.
Well, that's an expensive swear.
So, you know, of course, this is still not going to solve your problem if there's, say, a hurricane or whatever, unless you, you know, do other things to have a much longer.
You get one of those Tesla battery backups.
The problem with that, though, is if you've already got that much juice sitting there, then you're going to hook up the fan.
No, no, just the phone.
Just for the phone.
So
$3,000
Tesla battery
backup.
So that
you can have a really long conversation during the hurricane about the hurricane.
I was going to say, that should power your phone system for weeks, maybe don't, months.
They make those small phones that have built-in battery backups, too, that you can take places? Or no, that's future technology.
What would such a thing even be called?
Like maybe call it a mobile phone? I don't know.
Genius.
And, a mobile.
A mobile.
And finally, we have our special correspondent in San Angelo, Texas. We have a correspondent about Jade Helm. By special correspondent, that means I found a video.
You know, San Angelo is not very far from where I grew up.
Right. So we have some Jade Helm a Jade Helm update from San Angelo.
All right, America. Oh. We've been telling you about this for a long time. This Jade Helm, it's coming down. It's going down. And if you don't believe it, let me just show you. I'm here at Sam's Club in San Angelo, Texas.
Look at the
and
same
let me show you something. Look at that. Yeah? What do you think about that? Huh? Did you see that? There's trailers here. Look at this. Oh, yeah. Black tarps on a fence. Black tarps on a fence with dumpsters. And there's even some cardboard boxes. And chain link, cardboard, ladies and gentlemen, cardboard boxes and chain link, okay? Black tarps and chain link. I don't understand why people aren't seeing this. Let me show you something else that's a little more sinister, okay? You think, oh, that's just chain link, right? That's just black tarp. No big deal. Let me show you something else, right? Okay, because Jade Helm's happening where? Mostly in Texas. Look at this. Look at this right here. That says Tex, T-E-X. That's for FEMA to know that this trailer needed to come to Texas. Okay, that's probably got ninjas in there that can take our guns. There could be weapons of some kind of... There's just no telling, okay? Look, that's not that bad. Maybe that's just a trailer, right? Not a big deal. Let me show you something else. Number three. This is just in San Angelo. Look at this right here. That's Knight Transportation. Does that remind you of anything? Like... Knights Templar? Yeah, used to do all of the sneaky stuff. America, this is happening. You need to get yourself right, America. You need to get it right. If you don't believe that this is going down, come on down here to the Walmart. Go to the Sam's Club. You need to see this. This is happening. Get yourself right, because I tell you what, this is not where you want to be when Jesus comes. Is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back? I don't think so, America. Get it right. This is Chris Martin in San Angelo at Sam's Club, and it's going down. It's going down.
I was nervous until just this moment.
Shortly after that, we lost contact with our special correspondents.
Ninjas to here to take our guns.
America.
And that's the news.
Was it? Was that really the news?
The news, he said, making large air quotes around it. I heard that. That guy, that's just sort of perfect.
I'm going to rename my Wi-Fi Sid at home to... Jade Helm Command and Control, and see what happens.
Do Jade 427, make it kind of innocuous. Don't be too over the top.
Not Jade Helm Command and Control.
Jade Helm 420.
Not Jade Helm.
420. It's when the special forces come and make us all have marijuana and get Confederate flag married and all those things.
Confederate flag married.
Is that what we're doing now? All right, y'all.
Love this flag. Why don't you marry it?
The phones are lighting
I think
up.
I will.
Well, today is the first day of Jade Helm, right?
It is, yes. Yes. Couldn't you
happy
feel
Jade,
it in the air?
Happy Jade Helm Day.
Happy Jade Helm. There are not armed people in the studio telling us what to say right now.
Oh, yeah. No, if it had been closer to the top of the hour, beginning of the show, maybe we should have done that. It's like... We interrupt this program to make a special Jade Helm announcement. Nothing is happening
Everything
here.
Everything is no totally one. Fine.
We're all free to speak and say whatever we would like about
We're fine.
Jade
Everybody's
Helm.
Fine here. How are you?
They want us to talk about Bastille Day.
The last time it was this bad for something and Texas looked this bad, it was about the Smurf Gang.
What was the Smurf
you
Gang?
You can go look that one. Oh, God. There were rumors of a gang of people of a gang with a school bus that called themselves the Smurf Gang. They painted themselves blue, and their leader was this kid who they called Papa Smurf, and he had been killed. And so then, for some unknown, totally unknown reason,
they were going to come to a school here in Houston and were going to, you know, beat everybody up, and it was going to be terrible. It happened to be a school that I was in attendance at or near attendance near.
Awesome.
And people Johnston went nuts Middle School? For it. Let's see. There were several places that had it, but the
Welch
the
Middle
Houston
School.
Welch. Welch was a feeder to our school.
1983.
And it was and there were people who were really honestly like worried and scared about it and didn't come to school, and you just kind of really smirk.
That's an
smirk
awesome
gang.
Reason to get a the day off gang, from yeah. school.
That's what you're going to be afraid of coming to your school.
That's smirfing awesome.
You know, yeah, really.
Enough of this smurf nonsense, little Gargamel. You're going to school today.
So you're smurfing off for the day, hoping to smurf off for the day.
Watch your smurfing language.
That's way to make Texas look great.
Another Bitcoin in the swear jar, Lee.
Smurfity, Smurfity.
Racking up quite the debt.
Smurfity, Smurf.
Remember the movie Slackers?
Yeah.
And the guy had the theory about the Smurfs were paving, they're kind of like getting us ready for Krishna.
And communism.
Sounds legit.
A friend of mine had this real weird theory about Smurfs, but I've been thinking about it. I think it's kind of cool. Actually, I kind of agree with it. It's like about Krishna, you know, like Smurfs are blue. And he's saying that Smurfs are like getting kids used to seeing blue people. And it's like, you know, with Smurfs being blue, kids see blue people. They like relate to Smurfs and they relate to blue people when Krishna comes about, you know. And I don't know. I kind of agree with that. Hey, listen, I tell you what, I'll buy you around if you score me a pack of smokes, man.
That movie was... Oh, sorry.
What? Go ahead.
That movie was really awesome. They were robbed. They got one star from Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. I think they're trying to suppress the whole Krishna Smurf.
We'll see.
Tie-in
and then years later, what happens?
Smurf.
Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
Where people actually want to be the blue people.
Uh huh. Weird
and
blue.
And so it's
cat
a whole
people.
James Cameron thing, and then ultimately he'll go back in time and make Slackers, and it's
no.
Just
well,
all
James Cameron is in
together.
On it because he's providing the video editing for the Jade Helm propaganda films. That's all Cameron is heading
yes.
up the Hollywood
soon,
liberal cabal.
Pretty
that's
soon
doing all
we'll
that.
Be under the grinding boot heel of the U.S. Constitution, and we'll have U.S. military bases scattered across our state. People will be like making most of the income for major cities will be dependent upon the external government.
Getting
of the United
paid
States.
In U.S. dollars.
You'll be able just to go to a store and buy a gun. I mean, what's more terrible than that?
So everybody's making Texas look good, you know, from the governor on down on this Jade Helm thing. So, well, hopefully this will sound better than last week because I'm ready with my speaker loud.
Hit the button.
Bite of the apple time. People were getting scared from the other one, so we went for the happy time.
He went right past happy and into manic, drug-induced hysteria.
Well, you know, you build up the news over the course of a few days, and the thing that is the funny thing with Apple is how fast sometimes it goes from like the just like vague initial rumors of something to stuff actually happening. So, on Monday, about halfway through the day, there was an article talking about how the supply of iPods and some of that was getting constrained at different stores. Now, some of this is going to go farther because not just iPods, but the iPad Mini 2 and the iPad Air, which obviously are devices that could be discontinued or have a price change or have a spec change
yep.
Going forward soon. They've gone to, you know, basically somebody found some inside information from Target. But then very quickly, you know, then a day later, and my internet connection here is terrible. They announced brand new iPods and brand new iPods with the new processor, the A8 processor, 8 megapixel camera on the iPod touches. They changed the colors. You know, here's where you can see the difference is, you think about it, is
there was no big fanfare. There's no, you know, event. There's no keynote or anything. No, they just dropped it. It just, the Apple Store went down. It came back up, and it had the new stuff. So that's where the iPods are in the lineup now. Plus, they didn't get updated.
Does anybody still use? I mean, I guess Shuffle. The Shuffle makes sense because you can, you know, take that, go work out. It's tiny. You can clip it on your shirt or whatever. But like, does anybody still use like a dedicated music player, like a dedicated portable music player anymore?
I've seen
just a little one
children,
that you take like running or whatever.
Children whose parents won't let them have phones yet.
Also people people who I think, you know, if you worked if you worked in an area where there's any sensitivity about, you know, computer devices type thing, I mean, you don't have to put it in airplane mode.
Cell phone or any kind of phone to take pictures with.
Although with sealed batteries, those users are getting fewer and fewer between.
Yeah, but I mean, there are places. So there are some places or situations, or like people to exercise where they want.
That's what I was saying. Like,
it's like the Shuffle or the Nano.
Yeah, the Shuffle. Okay, yeah.
You know, the
okay,
Nano is a bigger capacity. The iPod Touch, I could see being a way, rather than giving your kid, letting them mess with your $600 iPhone, giving them a $200 iPod Touch. Is probably a better because
it'll still do. You can still install apps and everything on it, right?
Yeah, and it'll do with messages and that. I think they can pretty much text.
It's even. Basically a phone, so
it'll do Skype and voice over IP.
I don't know why I pay for phone stuff for my kids because they text like crazy. But if you try to call them, it's like it came from, you know, aliens or something. You know, they're holding the phone away from their
head. Making a weird noise. What's going on with my phone?
Who is this? What? Their voice is coming from my...
Why are they bothering me like this?
So then the sort of final thing on the Apple rumor deal that sort of fits in with the whole... That doesn't fit in with the whole constraining the supply is there are rumors from a couple of places that Apple isn't going to really change the iPad Air 2 much, if at all, this fall, or the Mini 2, that there may be one more revision of the Mini, and that they'll come out, that they'll do that to make a bigger deal out of the iPad Pro, the rumors of the giant iPad coming back, except what's the other common story on new Apple stuff? Constraint supplies because they're having a hard time getting enough to build enough for you heard it. You just play the Apple Watch deal over for yourself and in your head and you can get it. But so supposedly the sort of the iPad Pro is back on the rumor mills for I guess this September or October.
Well, they're about to do. I think they're about to release their quarterly statement. I think their quarterly statement is next month, or I'm sorry, next week. I think it's like next Tuesday or something. They're going to have their end of quarter announcement, and they're definitely not going to do anything. They're definitely not going to make any product announcements before that. And usually they don't even make product announcements at their quarterlies anymore. They used to do like every once in a while they'd sneak one out, but. I know, I mean, it's going to be, you know, record money being made overseas, and I guess this time around there'll be no Apple TV bingo from Gene Munster because that got firmly put to bed last time with the no, we're not doing that. We were, and now we're not anymore.
The thing that I could see coming that sort of ties into the whole, you know, no updates for the iPad Air and all that is, aren't we really kind of coming up to a point where on the tablet front, other than, you know, spec changes, there's not a lot more to do, you know? We've made it so thin that it's thinner than a sheet of paper. Well, that's not going to work.
It's kind of mature. You know?
So it's like bigger camera, bigger processor. It's kind of like they're not going to have a keynote for a new MacBook Air because it's the same MacBook Air as before, but now it's got Skylake in it or it's got Broadwell or it's got, you know, so they just – it just – they announce it, it's a news story for a day, and it goes away. I just wonder, is the iPad coming up on that kind of like...
Well, I mean, there's that expectation that Apple will do product category redefining crazy things every 3 to 5 years. And Steve Jobs, you know, he's been gone for quite some time now, and while... You know, Apple over the past few years has made more money than almost more money than exists. I mean, they're sitting on a cash reserve of $200 billion or something ridiculous like that. You know, we're kind of coming up on the point to where, like, you know, you think in a perfect world in Steve Jobs's Apple, if Steve Jobs was still around, that there would be some kind of new product-defining thing that Apple would do right about now. And I don't really know if there's anything like that on the horizon.
Well, it's going to have to almost be a new product, because I think, like Peter was saying, I mean, the tablets are mature. You can't do much more. There's even arguments like, you know, how thin is too thin? I know that there have been, like, some new notebooks that have been released that are coming in at 3 pounds. And, like, it's great when you're holding it, but the second you put it on a table and start to type, it's so light it just starts to walk away from you. So we're getting to that point where you can't, like, it's does doing thinner do anything better for you? I'm going to cut myself on this eventually.
Is there more that you can do? And like the bezel-less thing, we've seen a lot of products come out that didn't have a, that don't have a bezel, and they haven't been successful enough that other people are following. I think there's sort of the problem of how do you hold the thing if it doesn't have some kind of edge that you can put your fingers on without it triggering the touch on the.
Or you just make the corners dead, but then that becomes your bezel. So it's like, okay.
Right.
I want waterproof and, like, shatterproof. Those are the two things that I want to see in tablets and in mobile phones.
I want my gadgets to all just be transparent, like Crystal Pepsi, but for computers. I mean, just have them start doing that.
Where do I put my devices?
And charge themselves by absorbing your life energy through, so you don't have to ever plug them in.
No.
My will to live is gone, but all my devices are full.
My Vampire iPad Pro is doing fine. They're saying that it would be a 12.9-inch screen, so I guess it's like if you just take a MacBook Air and hold just the top part and imagine the keyboard thing isn't there.
That's a heck of a tablet.
You buy the new case for the iPad Pro that has a keyboard and an extra battery and a hard drive.
So the original is 10.1 inches?
Yeah.
So this is the largest tablet. Had anyone made like such a large tablet before? Or is Apple kind of going...
Somebody's got...
Nabby made a 20-inch or 27-inch tablet.
Well, that's a little
tablet.
Ridiculous.
The Galaxy Note.
It is, but they made one.
Wow.
They did. It's for kids, and it's like got a big handle on it.
Out there, I thought.
Oh, this was 20-something. It was stupid.
Yeah, it had...
I wish they'd called it like Max iPad or something like that.
Max iPad.
I guess it's taken. That name's taken.
I see what you did there. I'd like to see Apple introduce touch to their... portables.
The Force Touch.
Well, no, touch screens to their portables, because at this point it seems like a weird omission. Because, I mean, like, I've seen people, like my dad is one of them who does this all the time. Like, I'll have my laptop around him because he's so used to his iPad that I'll have my Mac laptop and he'll just go and, like, start poking at the screen and nothing happens. And he's
you have to smack those hands down.
It's like, oh, wait a minute.
My reflexes are strong now. Well, and I mean, don't touch that.
And pretty much every Windows laptop, every current generation Windows laptop from all the major OEMs because of Windows 8, they all have touch now. So, I mean, if you buy anything from Toshiba or Acer or HP or Dell, generally, if it's a Windows 8 designed device, it includes touch on the screen.
They get rid of a mouse?
No, they've still got all the trackpads and everything.
My conspiracy theory that I'll make up right now on the spot is that towards the end, Steve Jobs said, "Okay, here's what you do, Tim. Don't do touch until the last possible minute, so that Windows, you know, that they've been doing it for years and years, and then." We'll announce it, and everybody's going to act like it's the second coming, and it'll P.O. Ballmer and all of them so bad.
Well,
it's like his last
Bill
joke
Gates the night before.
Yeah. The Apple apologist answer to that is that Apple isn't going to implement touch on the desktop until they can do it in a way that works really, really, really well. And you can kind of see with Windows 8, when you're in metro mode, or whatever you're supposed to call the tile thing now, modern, or this, when you're in the part with all the squares,
well groomed.
Touch works fine.
I'm sure Microsoft loves you describing it that way.
The part with the squares,
look,
the color
squares,
part with the squares.
It's annoying though.
When you're in the metro
when
part,
you want
it works
a desktop.
Fine. But when you're in the desktop, especially in your like when you're in like an office application that doesn't have a modern skin, when you're in like Word or whatever, and you're in any desktop app. On the desktop side and not in the modern Metro side, it's really extremely clunky.
See,
and the touch targets aren't that big, and it's just odd.
I don't have much experience with Windows 8, but I installed it as a VM. I've run it because I had to use it for something. I don't remember what, but
and it's weird.
But for those part, I didn't like it because there were certain things that were weird, and I could see like, oh, if this were a touch interface, it would make more sense than it being a mouse and keyboard. But most of my experience with that is with GNOME 3, which I hate because they basically tried to make Unity to combine all of the browser interface or the OS interface so that it could work on every device. And I guess it's really good maybe if you're on a tablet or if you're on a phone or something.
Yeah, but a phone is not.
But
a desktop
when you're
or
on
a
desktop, it is horrible because it completely breaks the way that for me definitely, and I think for most people, the way you use a desktop. Mm-hmm. The way you use a desktop is not the same way you're going to use, you know, a smaller single screen. Like,
I
want multiple virtual desktops. You know, I want the mouse to be able to go to somewhere and be able to get to everything, and it just ruins all that.
My theory, my real theory, not the just like jack with Microsoft and make people who aren't Apple fans explode their heads, is probably that, you know, you'll have the iPad Pro, and then you've got the whole Force Touch thing going through the iPad line, and then if they have it down and they feel like they've got it knocked, that would be the point where they might, with the Force Touch thing, that might be when it makes sense to get to where there's a touch aspect or where touch is available for the desktop.
I mean, I can see, honestly, I mean, I do think probably Apple's methodology for doing this, which seems to be, we're going to take aspects from the desktop and we're going to put it on laptop and phone, and then we're going to start like backing some of it from those smaller devices back onto there, but not like we're going to try to integrate this all into one thing like Windows 8 did or GNOME 3 did. I think it's better methodology because at some point that they're separate, and at some point you can maybe get to a point where you can release a desktop OS that looks enough like those that somebody with a touchscreen on a desktop could use it and be familiar with it from the other devices. But if you had a desktop, you don't have to use it as if it were
some of those combo devices where it's the tablet and the keyboard thing and they dock together and act like a laptop, or you can take it the other way. I haven't gotten to use one extensively, but, you know, in looking at them and playing around with them a little bit, they certainly seem tempting. It's sort of it's sort of surprising to me that because it does look cool. It has that, I'd love something this thin and that works like this, kind of look like you got, you know, that's an Apple thing, you know, like when the MacBook Air came out, it was just so thin and out of an envelope and all that stuff. And so these devices, the kind of hybrids like that, it seems like we're close to where that would work. I agree with Apple, you know, with them compartmentalizing it. Microsoft, I think, thought, oh, we'll jump ahead and we'll put it all together.
Well,
and
there are parts of a workflow where it makes sense to have a quick, like, screen touch to do something with. And, I mean, it's ideal when you're sitting there and you're typing and you want to use the mouse for fine control. But if you want to, like, real quick drag a window out of a way or hit OK or resize a thing, sometimes being able to just go like this on your screen
works. My biggest
pet
peeve are, like, you know, like greasy fingerprints all over my laptop screen. The last thing I want is more enticement for someone to come in and rub their hands all over my laptop screen. Yeah. I don't want that. I want, like, my laptop screen to shock people when they touch it. Like,
no,
like, ow.
Here, Barrett, let me just drag this right over here. No, hold on.
Put
my sandwich down and then drag this over on your screen.
Well, looking at the state of your keyboard, I can see why you would want to put your hands on your screen. It's shocking. Just no, I'm
kidding. Not that crusty.
It's not my keyboard's clean, isn't it?
Yeah, it's even got all the
it's
keys.
Just not lit
you just
up.
Often have had not good luck.
I've got
with
some
your
shattered
keyboard.
Keys. This is almost dead. We will revive this after DEF CON, I think.
Is it the sacrificial DEF CON
and
laptop?
Have it be your burner.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Mark. I think I'm going to take this to DEF CON and just not care about it and then get something new.
See what you can find afterwards.
Was there a period of time where carrying an Apple device at DEF CON made you kind of a marked man? I mean, now it's got to anymore because everybody uses Unix now and all the Unix heads are on Apple. But was there an earlier time?
Like, what do you mean marked man?
Here you are with the
Play School computer. Are you more of a target?
No, I wasn't going to DEF CON in those days, but from what I read, not really. I mean, people were, you know, if you want to be elite, you'll run with like an OpenBSD or Linux something. But OS X has a lot of respect. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, if you run Windows, people are going to probably look at you weird. But OS X, I think, has a decent amount of respect just because of its BSD roots.
Bring my Windows XP
and Darwin
MacBook.
And everything.
Yeah, I'm guessing once the day came where there was a Mac that you could go to a command line and actually do stuff,
My Mac had in-map.
And that's
out
when
of the
everything
box.
Changed, because OS 9 is not OS 10. I mean, that's, you know, I used Apple computers when I was, you know, a kid, but I never really got behind it and, you know, got one on my own until OS 10 came out and it gave you a command
that's
line.
That's, what, that's why
everything.
I bought it.
Yep, same.
OS 10.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I bought it when it was OS 6 and it barely functioned as a GUI.
Did it? But I've got ClarisWorks. That's awesome.
The switch to Intel was the last barrier for me. That was in 2005, and I got my Mac in 2007.
I saw that I was into Mac from I saw the in 80 January of 84 when they showed when they had the computer stores and they brought the Mac in and set it up on the table and demoed it.
The Mac Paint demo
with the Mac Paint demo and all that. Yeah, from there and used them in college.
You were indoctrinated very young.
I was doing desktop publishing. It was my living, so it was the right tool. But the thing that showed me where I knew what was kind of what was coming with the kind of keynote thing is when they announced the Mac 2 FX, which was in the late 80s. And it was so much more powerful than anything they'd had out before, and it just spread like wildfire. And that's pre-internet, so it was spreading like wildfire when people really weren't in that close of communication. So it was just like some guy that you knew that worked in the business is like, "Have you seen the 2FX? It's wicked fast.
It's wicked fast.
Wicked fast was how Steve Jobs described it. And
wicked
it went from
fast.
There. And, that was when you kind of knew. I think that's when." When
was that
he kind
like,
of figured out that the keynote thing.
Did that one cost like, was that like the $8,000 Mac?
There's my theory. You know, basically, if you look, the kind of top of the line Mac, now it's exploded. I mean, you can put so much RAM and all that in them that you can get them up to be $13,000 or whatever.
You can go 20K easy, yeah.
The normal, like, ultimate, you know, what you'd really like Mac desktop setup has always come in about $7,000.
Yeah.
The sad thing was back in the day what you got for your like $3,000 or $4,000 because you were skimping to get there. You know, if you wanted a like 19-inch monitor.
Oh, man.
And all those things.
Here we go.
And a scanner and some of those things. It was a lot of money.
But yeah, that was like when
a printer was $3,500.
When the original Mac launched, the original 1984 Macintosh was $24.99. And then if you wanted the LaserWriter, it was another like $29.99.
Yeah. So even then from that like little basic one, they were really saying you need to spend about $7,000.
So yeah, just Wikipedia'd your Macintosh 2FX. It says the Macintosh 2FX is a model of Apple Macintosh computer introduced in 1990 and discontinued in 1992. At introduction, it cost from US $9,000 to US $12,000.
Let me Wikipedia that for you.
Depending upon configuration.
But it compared to what had gone before. You know, the sad thing is if you had it now, you'd look at it and it'd be like,
oh man, it had a 40 megahertz 68030, so basically roughly equivalent to a 40 megahertz 386, sort of, to make your head explode. Oh, and it had an FPU, a 68882 FPU.
So it was just that they had that one. He did the sort of keynote thing. He talked about it, and that got in the magazines and all that. But then they had sort of a road show that went around and showed it. At various places. I went to a deal in Houston. I went to something near Greens Point where they had a, like, you know, at the Ramada Inn, the conference room deal, and they had all these guys from various agencies, you know, ad agencies and that kind of stuff, watching them show.
And then Steve Jobs was shown the door.
Yeah, he didn't. That was before they booted him out, but that was, you know, it was whoever the local Apple rep was.
This machine had 8 RAM slots for a maximum of 128 megabytes of RAM.
Which is, well, then
that's
the funny thing is,
enormously a lot.
They had the 2FX, but then, like, another year later, and they had the SE30, where they crammed most of the power of the FX into the little portable box. You know, the little,
still black and white, the
little
SE30
Happy
was,
Mac
though.
Kind of thing. Yeah, although it would drive I don't know if it would drive a color.
We had an SE30 in my high school journalism class, and it was like the fastest Mac in the class. If you were writing, you wanted like the SE30 to be free, and you wanted to grab that because it was like far and away faster, the fastest thing we had. Everything else was like LC2s, and they were just dog slow.
Well, when I was at A&M, and when I went to the computer lab, the PCs were always full. You know, where you could check out.
Because people were doing serious work.
People were always using using Word to write their papers or whatever, WordPerfect. and the Macs were never full. So I bought myself a 3.5-inch floppy and the hard plastic little one and started
just
using the Mac because I could just walk right in.
By the time I was done,
before I graduated, then there were lines and everybody wanted the Macs and that kind of stuff. But early on, it was like skip past the line and go right to the Macs.
Oh man! According to this, you could install Apple Unix on your SE30. That would have been awesome.
So, I guess we don't have that much time left, so I'm not even going to play the intro. We'll just hit the quick...
Science!
we haven't done try by or fry either.
First, I want to make sure...
Preparations going on in the lobby.
People are donning tinfoil hats here at KPFT.
Literally wearing tinfoil hats in the lobby of KPFT.
Perfect. Preparing for the show that follows us, or just...
The show that follows us is going to have some fun at Jade Helms. Expense.
What is the show that follows us these days?
Well, one.
I don't remember their name and I feel ashamed now.
First on the Try Briar Fry front is an update on Proxy Ham, which has been killed and no one knows why.
Except the guy who did it.
Yeah, but he basically just kind of wiped all of it. It's like sort of just gone and he's not talking about it and there's not going to be a presentation.
There's been some buzz on IRC and off channel. So I think pretty much what happened was the stuff that he was doing was going to violate a little bit of FCC stuff here and there. So they pretty much came in and squelched the talk, squelched the source code, squelched the build materials.
Although
I thought
he had said on Twitter that it didn't break any FCC rules.
Well, no, here's the thing. It technically, you still have to get a lot of that stuff licensed because here's where I understood where everything went south. Because he offered to sell stuff in the vendor area and he was going to have a few builds of the box available to buy. That does have to be, it's more or less you've got to have the non-interference stuff. You've got to say, hey, this product is certified not to interfere with anything else. It's on the bands that it's supposed to be. It doesn't have a lot of bleed over. So I don't think just the fact that you're doing ISM gets you in there.
But why would you have to squelch the source code or squelch kits that aren't put together?
There may also have been a slight amount of drama in the reaction. But, the thing is they just said, look, if you don't want any issues, pull everything. But that's kind of weird because there's always that talk that raises the ire of someone that gets, the Skylarov talk or, the Dimitri guy that did the Adobe ebook with the ROT 13. And they still did it. So it's kind of weird that this one went so dark.
See, that's my take on it, and that could be true. I'd heard that. But then I also had seen that he tweeted that there wasn't any FCC issue. But
he said there wasn't any. He didn't think there'd be any FCC issue, but he never said the FCC didn't come in and say, hey, that's not cool.
Right. I guess that's true. But my thing was, I figured it was one of three things. Either somebody came to him and said, your design is stupid and it's horrible, and this is why. And he said, oh, you're right. I'm going to look stupid. I'm ditching this thing completely because he didn't want to look stupid. Two, somebody came in and said, I want to take this from you because I want to use it, and I don't want anybody else to have access to this.
Paid
him off to not release the source code or anything to anybody. Or three, the government came in with a hush order and he can't talk about it.
Or the fourth one would be his employer basically said, we don't want somebody who works for us associated with all of this, so can it too? Which would be the probably least sort of harmful and weird thing, because all it takes is one weak kneed manager and suddenly, you could turn it into a huge drama.
I just, part of my thing is, I kind of, and maybe it's a little bit conspiratorial, I've just seen the government come in and do that. Like the whole thing with Snowden with, I forgot what the name of that was, whatever his mail, the mail system he was using.
Oh, Lava Mail?
Yeah.
Lava Bit?
Yeah. So he
basically, Lava Bit. Lava
Something. Where he had to, he basically shut it down instead of giving them keys.
Yeah, Lava Bit.
And then they started all of the, in the last few years, a lot of people have started putting the canary clauses in their things where they put in a clause that says, we have not been contacted by any government to release any information that we store or whatever. And so that way, if they do get contacted, they have to take that out of their EULA or whatever, their information. I don't know. It seems something kind of silly for the government to do that on this, but it seems possible. to
there's,
me.
Yeah, there's a verification procedure. He definitely came out and said it wasn't his employer. So I think it was, you know, he's getting hit with fines by taking something illegal to market that he shouldn't be doing. And, you know, you've got the FAA is going after drone pilots.
But he should be able to say that. Like, why wouldn't he just say, well, this is why?
He should still be able to give the talk, I would think. But maybe they scared him.
That's the thing. It's everything shut down. He destroyed things. He's not selling anything. He's not releasing the source code. Like, I mean, if somebody wants to build this thing on their own, then that doesn't deal with any of the stuff with FCC regulations as far as buying things.
Yeah, that he's got to have a declaration of conformity, which just says, I mean, that's what it is.
But that's if he's going to build something to sell it,
yeah, that's
right?
What he was going to do. Yeah, he was going to have them for sale.
But if you just
area.
Sell a kit that's not built together.
He was going to, he had pre-built kits.
Or if you just release the source code.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
But he ditched all of it. So, and maybe he's going to rebuild it. Maybe he's going to redesign it and do something different. I don't know.
Or somebody else, if there's anything good to it, somebody will pick it up. And it was not like he came up with something that nobody else could.
He's taking off the shelf components you can get from SparkFun or Adafruit or Mauser, and then you could recreate this very easily. Hackaday actually is showing you as of yesterday how to recreate what he built. You know,
he watched Pump Up the Volume and had an Arduino and
there's
said,
another
cool.
Talk being given under Charles U. Farley, though, so that's odd. That's odd. Strange.
Well, in other new products, if this, if you're in a market, Houston is not one of the markets that's listed for it. Texas is not. But Comcast has announced their better than Google Fiber 2 gigabit per second internet. Well, so this is from Comcast. So what do you think something like that costs you per month to have? And you have to have – and there's install fees. It's $300 a month for 2 gigabit per second
and
internet.
Google Fiber is close to like 70, right?
It is 70.
Yeah. And it's, I think, about $1,000 install.
Yeah, I saw like 500.
It's a two-year contract. So you're committing to 2 years with it. And
wow.
Let's see. You have to be within a third of a mile of their fiber network in eligible cities to receive it at all.
The reason for that is because they actually do run fiber out to your premises. That's what
build-out's expensive.
That's what's covered by that $1,000 fee, basically, is – you know, the tearing up of your sidewalk, the termination of that fiber. Yeah, I mean, it's not it, I'll be the first guy to gig Comcast when they screw up. But honestly, charging $1,000 for a fiber build out like that isn't necessarily a ripoff.
That's cheap.
Right?
You do it in a commercial setting, and it's, I've seen, you know, like just easy fiber drops, 12,000, you know, 15,000.
Yeah, but you know, Comcast is going to just leave the fiber laying on the ground, and then 7 days later, a crew's going to come through with that little thing that pushes it like 1 inch under the ground.
Not before your lawnmower guy runs over the fiber. Well, and it would be less. I mean, it would be less of a big deal, I think, if Google didn't not charge for the build out fee. So if you're in a Google Fiber eligible area and you get your gigabit Google Fiber, which granted is only half as fast as this Comcast 2 gigabit, they don't charge you an install fee.
Is internet going to be so fast someday that you're downloading from the future?
Yes, you won't even know you have it. I didn't even know I clicked download on this, but it's here.
Sort of. On the Comcast, the terms are installation may require 6 to 8 weeks or more to complete. Then there's the $1,000
fiber lead time.
Yeah. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Well, because you're not going to be.
Well, yeah, you're not gonna
get. We found that out when we got to spend a little bit of time. One of our guys got to spend a little time in Austin, one of those Austin, what do you call them, hacking houses that had Google Fiber in it. It was like a hackerspace with Google Fiber where you could it was sort of like you could show up and like crash there for like a week if you were building an app and use their Google Fiber gigabit thing. But we had a hard time effectively benchmarking it because there's other than Google's like test out your Google Fiber download tool.
You can't find
like 8 things fast enough at the same time to max out the connectivity.
Someone else on the other end of Google Fiber, maybe.
Yeah, well, that was what we figured doing.
The screen.
I have Time Warner over in San Antonio, and it's 300 megabit, which I usually get 270 to 290.
That's
and
nice.
The speedtest.net stops at like 150 or something like that, yeah. Or 200. And what it does is the needle basically kind of goes over and pegs, and up above the speed, the total speed keeps going up. The needle keeps kind of like bumping up against the end thing.
It's at the rev limiter.
And the digital readout of the speed keeps going up.
Past a certain point, you're right, only other Google Fiber users can benchmark you with. I mean, immediately when I see that much bandwidth, what I want to do is run servers. because it's the download isn't that much that important to me. But if I've got a gigabit of upload bandwidth available, well, I want to move. I want to move some services onto my static IP address and be advertising them. I want to host websites.
You know,
that's what I want to do.
Why they need
to
get IPv6 out and really usable, since we're pretty much out of IP addresses.
You know what? I'm a smart guy, I'd like to think, and IPv6 is absolutely mystifying to me.
No, it makes it pretty easy. I mean, really,
I've tried to figure out how to switch to it at home, like internally, like on my LAN, switch my LAN over from V4 to V6, and even just like doing that, which you think would be relatively simple. Like, I started trying to plan it out, and I was like, no.
No, it is simple, because you just get a router that can do IPv6.
Zero con.
And then you just set all your stacks to do IPv6, and you're done. Huh? Because all IPv6 devices will talk locally on the network to determine where every other device is. So
the latest Apple operating system updates all prefer IPv6 now. If you look, it started. It's in the control panel, and you can see details.
We should switch our show.
But you'll also end up with like at least three or four IPv6 addresses on every device.
Yeah, yeah, you've got like
But that's okay,
all different
right?
scopes.
But there's so many of them, it doesn't really matter. Just toss them out. Toss them around.
I might be doing the show from San Antonio next week if Pete's got 279s.
Yeah, better than the studio here. Well, and a couple last quick things on Try By Or Fry.
Yeah, I have to start the outro music.
Had a cool lightning
because we've got a
cable. Oh yeah,
we have to start early today.
Yeah, because we've got like this like thing we have.
Well, one last thing is
Jade Helm needs the airwaves.
Inflicted showed his everyday cable carry. He had the like lightning cable that had the like old school looking cloth cover. Well, if you want to be more hardcore, I found one that's got a stainless steel.
It's like you're showering with data.
That's pretty awesome.
On the thing. Well, compared to though, if you have
it's
about $5 more than the plastic one that if somebody looks at it wrong, it
phrase
cracks. Right. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
It looks badass to a.
We're making a lot of Bitcoin tonight.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. It was a great show, great conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you'll tune in next week for more of the same, or even better, or maybe worse.
No, better.
You can go find the links to everything we talked about tonight and stuff we didn't get to at geekradio.com.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
Inflicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Greetings to all of you listening on the Pacifica Airways. This is your National Election Supervisor, L. Joy Williams, with some important information about the 2015 local station board election process. Your participation as a candidate, a voter, or by helping with outreach efforts is crucial to the success of your station. A lot of you have questions about this process, and here with a few questions is frequent listener Kim. Thanks for your help, Kim.
No problem, Joy. So what can you tell us about this election?
Sure. This is an election for the local station board. This station is part of Pacifica Radio, America's oldest independent media network and the only radio network with a democratically elected board. The local station board has a lot of power. The board members oversee programming, approve the station's budget, and create policy to ensure that programs represent the needs of listeners and the communities served by the station.
Wow. That is a lot of responsibility. As a listener, can I be involved in this process? How?
Sure, you can. You can participate in the process in a number of ways. First, by being a member of your local station, by running as a candidate, or helping to spread the word about the election.
Well, I listen to Pacifica every day. Does that make me a member?
Being a regular listener is great, but to really support the station and participate in the election process, you must become a member by making a minimum annual donation of $25 or perform 3 hours of volunteer work at the station before midnight, Tuesday, July 14th.
So my next question is, let's say I want to do more than vote. I want to actually become a candidate. What are the requirements to run as a candidate?
Well, just like a voter, you will also need to be a current member of the station, and you also need to complete the candidate nomination package. You can find that on the website at elections.pacifica.org. You can also get a hard copy from your local election supervisor.
What's in the nomination packet? What materials do I have to submit, and when is it due?
That's a lot of questions in one, but I can answer them. You have to submit a written candidate statement, 15 petition signatures from other members of the station, and sign the fair campaign pledge that you will follow the rules of the election process.
Wait, 15 signatures from members? I have about 100 Facebook friends, but I don't know if they're all members of the station. How can I get support from 15 other members?
Well, you can ask your Facebook friends if they're members of the station for one, but your local election supervisor will also host a signing party at the station so other members can support you and sign your petition.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to get my candidate statement together right away. I can submit that online too, right?
You sure can. You can find all of the information you need about the election on the website at elections.pacifica.org. And when you submit your statement, it will be posted right on the website.
Okay, so after I renew my membership by donating at least $25 to the station, submit my materials to become a candidate, what happens next?
Well, providing that all of your submitted materials are in and your candidacy is verified, what's next is the campaign.
I've never been a candidate before or campaigned before. What do I do and where do I campaign?
It's okay. Your local election supervisor will help you through the process. The local election supervisor will host several on-air and in-person opportunities to make your opinions known to the voting public and to debate with other candidates during the election period.
This is so great that listeners like me get to participate in the process. Thanks for all this information, Joy. I'm going to get started getting my materials together right now.
That's so great, Kim. And to those of you listening, you can get involved in this process too. Remember, you must renew or become a member of your station by midnight on Tuesday, July 14th to vote in this election. And to be a candidate, you must be a member and submit the materials in the candidate nomination package. Please visit the elections website at elections.pacifica.org for up-to-date information to see a list of candidates.